2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code podcast for 10% off each month of your subscription. Once again, DFSArmy.com, promo code podcast for 10% off each month of your subscription. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Find Keith Hall over there at Boomers DFS Daddy. So we know we got the slate going on today. We know we got some wild stuff going on already. We know we already got wild stuff going on in March, but we got uncharted territory today, Keith.
Oh, we do?
Oh, yeah.
And what's that?
That is one New Orleans Pelicans franchise playing their – oh, boy, this is a good one. So they are on the back end of a back-to-back. The front end of a back-to-back and the middle of a back-to-back-to-back situation that they're in here.
Oh, so it's uncharted territory for this season.
Well, this team, this season, maybe some subscribers that we got out there. I Captain Literal, man, it's uncharted territory. All right, how about that?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm just making sure because, like, this isn't the first time that, you know, we've dealt with it. But we haven't had to deal with it this season. So it could be the first time that some of our subscribers are dealing with it.
Yeah, that's kind of – I was going generally it's uncharted territory, right? Like, you're in the 2 percentile here.
So hey, you got it. You know what? The 2 percentile is the best percentile.
It usually – well, one is a little better, but, you know.
Hey,
anyway,
if you can't be one, it's better to be number two than number 95.
Sure, sure. I don't know who said that, but okay. So, all right, so let's just look at the situation in general. So – like I mentioned, this is going to be the sandwich, the meat part of the back-to-back-to-back sandwich here for New Orleans. Obviously, we're going to have to break that down with a lot of the players. Mostly, that's going to be going down in the power forward position, so we'll be on that. In addition to that situation with New Orleans, we've got two stretches for teams tonight that go as far as making this their fifth game in 7 days. Those teams, the Toronto Raptors, who will be taking on the Cavs tonight, national TV game. And then you've also got the Clippers in this same situation in Milwaukee tonight. Now, I think Toronto is in a little bit of a better situation, if you can make that case, than the Clippers. They didn't play DeMar DeRozan. Van Fleet, did he sit out last night?
Yeah, he sat out last night, too.
He did? All right, so they both sat out last night. So there are a couple guys that could be competent. Also, Vegas doesn't think that this is too much of a big deal. I mean, you know, Toronto's implied team total is still right up there with the best ones on the night. Yeah, it doesn't look as bad as you would think for a team playing their fifth game in 7 nights. So I would certainly take a look at that. And, you know, I think what's interesting in that Clippers game is – you know, this is a team that already doesn't play defense, so you got some nice options there for the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know, what's your overall take here with all this?
Well, it's first off, it's March basketball, so
buckle up.
Yeah, buckle up, and I think we've got to look at. I'm pulling up the standings here real quick. I think we have to learn. Or kind of look at the standings a little bit to kind of gauge on what could possibly happen. I personally don't think that Jrue Holiday was ill last night. I think that he was just sat for rest because they know they're in a difficult stretch. And I honestly would not be surprised to see, let's see, who do the Pelicans have tomorrow?
They got the Lakers at home.
Okay, so I personally would not be surprised if they sit Anthony Davis tomorrow.
I might And I just want to say, too, I think, you know, kind of something that we overlooked here, no travel for New Orleans in this three-game stretch. All of them will be there at home in New Orleans. So,
yeah, that's the only way that I think that they actually got this approved.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if you want to look at, you know, the shiny part of all this, it's that, you know, no travel makes it, you know, somewhat dealable. But I think you're going to see a couple guys definitely – maybe take it easier than they would tonight than usual.
Yeah, it's a little bit like they lost last night. They lost to Dallas and
did they? I thought they won.
I thought they lost.
Yeah, that's really good. Oh, I'm pretty. I mean, Rondo went bananas. We knew that.
Nope, they did win. They were losing late. Okay, so they were losing late.
I thought I was the one losing my mind. Jeez.
Dude, okay, so let's see. This is strike one today. Okay, so that allowed them to kind of pull even with the Spurs for the, you know, they're tied for the fifth seed now. They're a game back of Oklahoma City after that heartbreaking loss last night. Oklahoma City is about to go on a difficult stretch here. They had Boston. They've got a back-to-back going from, I think, Milwaukee into Denver coming up. So, like, there's some – they still have to push. Like, they're still pushing for seeding here. So, but – like, you would think that since the Lakers are, you know, in theory, a worse team than the Pacers, that they would, you know, have a better – they would have all their guys back tonight, and they maybe sit out Rondo and Davis tomorrow night. That's the way that my mindset is going right now.
All right. Yeah, and it's weird because, like, if the Lakers were actually competitive in the West, you feel like, you know, that's probably the game that you would want these guys more for. But, yeah, I think it makes sense. I think New Orleans is going to definitely try to win all these, you know, these two games coming up here. Now, will it be easy for them? Probably not. You know, especially – and you look at the ADVP matchups for tonight. They're all red for the Pelicans players tonight, all green for the Pacers players. So that part was pretty interesting to see. The law of physics states it. You have to take it easy on some of these players. There's no doubt about it. Humans are not trained to play three NBA basketball games in 3 days. So we will certainly see some cutbacks. What those cutbacks will be, we're going to find out throughout the day. All right, let's get in on these positions today. Pod is now at the point guard position. We've got a matchup here. My boys will be playing the Charlotte Hornets tonight, but that's also a chance for Kemba Walker to, you know, have another productive night here. The first game of this latest stretch with Batum, Walker did pretty well in a tough matchup there against the Sixers. How you like him tonight against the Nets?
Can I just not play a point guard?
Perhaps on DraftKings, your dream could become a reality.
Yeah, I really don't like the position today. I don't know why. Like, I would think that Kemba Walker's in a smash spot against the Nets, but I don't usually like playing Kemba Walker in anything other than cash games. Doesn't seem like he has that great of a ceiling. If he does, he doesn't test it a lot. You know, he got a excuse me, he got a 50 against the Sixers there, but you turn around and, you know, go to the Knicks game, he got a 12. You go to the Atlanta game, he got a 40. You go to the Pelicans game, he got a 36. You go to the Phoenix Suns game, he got a 25. You go to the last time he played the Nets, he got a 33. I mean, it's not like he's in smash spots. It's not like he's really been killing it. So, $8,700, well, right. I feel, is a little bit tough to pay for a guy that I don't feel can test the ceiling in tournaments.
The usage numbers haven't necessarily shown it that Walker was crushing it without Batum. It, you know, the first, like I said, the first game of the sample size, he did crush it in a pretty good matchup. So against the Nets with no Batum, I do like Kemba more, but having to pay up that much for him, certainly the unappealing part. You've got other guys on tonight's slate where you're looking at it. Eric Bledsoe, you got the, you know, Kyle Lowry situation there against Cleveland. Jamal Murray going up against the Chicago Bulls tonight. Anybody from this next tier you like? I know you don't like the position as a whole, but, I mean, damn it, Keith. I'm on FanDuel, you got to pick somebody.
I got to pick two somebodies.
Yeah.
And honestly, I might just go all the way down to Dellen Wright, and I don't know. I might just go all the way down to Dellen Wright and Tyler Johnson.
Yeah, I like Ty Jeb. I like that.
I mean, I guess if Tyreek is out again tonight, we could go back to Andrew Harrison, although he's priced up a little bit. I don't mind going to Patty Mills for the Spurs because he's been playing a lot of the two. Hasn't really tested that ceiling yet. I mean, I could go to Antonio Blakeney, who's going to play 25 minutes and has the ability to put up 25 fantasy points. It's going to be one of those, I mean, I'm going to have to see what happens at the position as far as who's announced in and who's announced out. DeJounte Murray's not bad, but I don't, other than maybe Kyle Lowry and Jamal Murray, I don't really like paying up tonight. Like, I'm not, I very, very, very highly doubt I'm going to be playing Kemba Walker tonight.
All right. Well, here's some numbers that we can look at, help us make our decision. Jamal Murray actually has the second highest ADVP matchup for anybody on tonight's slate, and that's 0.1 below a very useless Justin Holiday. So we can just say that Jamal Murray has the best ADVP matchup on the slate.
Is Justin Holiday still playing basketball?
He is. He plays a little bit. So you've got that option there with Murray. I don't mind that price. Like I said, I think you know, the Nuggets are going to do well here against the Bulls. That's what Vegas is saying. So I like that matchup there. Don't forget, no Gary Harris as well for the Nuggets. Jamal Murray does have the team-high usage rate in that situation with Harris off the floor. Also looking at point guard, again, I like Tyler Johnson against the Knicks. Vegas is saying that, you know, Miami can handle their business here against them tonight. Now, Knicks have played two very good games. You know, the last two times they've been on the court, they absolutely blew out the Hornets there on Saturday night, and then they turn around and had a pretty good performance against the Bulls the other night. So, you know, maybe that thing stays close. I don't think it does. I think Miami is in a fantastic spot here against the Knicks. But again, you look at the prices. Like, for instance, Goran Dragic is $7,300 on DraftKings, right? And that's somewhere where he's usually never at. He's $7,000 on FanDuel as well. I think Tyler Johnson can do just as well, if not better, you know, in that situation, especially at that price.
Really?
Yeah, really. I wasn't kidding, man.
What I want to know is, why is this a negative matchup for Goran Dragic? Like, it doesn't seem like there's been very, very few spots where the ADVP has been just completely dead wrong this season. And I can count them on like one hand. And one of the reasons was because it hadn't been updated in a while. And that was earlier in the season, and that has been fixed. I don't know why. Like, we've had a question about the Indy situation all season. Like,
right.
We can't figure out why Indy is, you know, has been negative all season for the most part, but like, it's proved to be where, you know, you have to really pick and choose your spots. I don't know why the Knicks are showing up like this.
Well, it's just one position. I mean, it's only that point guard position. Everywhere else, you look at it.
But why? Why is it that one position? Is it because of the quality of the point guards that they've played? I mean, I can't say that. Is right. it because
ADDP is supposed to take that into account?
Yeah, it's, you know.
I mean, Kemba the other day, like, I know he, you know, got his time cut short, but that was a spot they were where they did well. The right. I get it. But that's what I'm saying. That's a spot where a point guard didn't have as many fantasy points. And look, there's a lot of times that the Knicks has gotten blown out of the gym and point guards haven't gotten their full allotment of minutes. Look, it just might just be like a statistical anomaly that the point guards don't really do it against the Knicks. But, I mean, watching basketball, damn it, you know that it is a good matchup. So, you know, sometimes – I mean, again, I think you can take any stat good, or any piece it, of information you want and flip it the way that you want.
Yeah, but is it a good matchup, like, just because of the players? Or is it a good matchup, like –
fantasy-wise, or something like that.
No. Like, because I think there's a difference in being a good matchup, like in basketball sense, and then being a good fantasy matchup. Like, obviously there is, but is this just an anomaly with this position on this team, and it's still a good matchup fantasy-wise if yes. you've got the right player?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, I mean, it hasn't slided Dragic's projection at all. That's for sure. And with Dwayne Wade out and with it basically being a three-guard rotation there, you know, you've got Dragic, you got Tyjo, you got Wayne Ellington.
Yep, no Wade again.
It's definitely a place where you can attack, I think.
Yeah, certainly. A couple other guys I wanted to mention. Darren Collison, much cheaper on DraftKings at 5,500 as opposed to the 61 on FanDuel. Still don't mind it, right? We're going against the New Orleans team. They suck on defense. This is a fantastic matchup for whoever Collison's going to get tonight. Remember, he just got inserted back into the starting lineup that last game and really performed nicely against the Lakers. I mean, look, this matchup is just as good as that one. So, again, too, with New Orleans, you know, being in the situation, you know, with all the back-end, back-to-back stuff, you know, they're probably not going to be doing all that great on defense tonight. I would bet a lot of my life savings on that one. So, you've got that there. I like that spot a lot. Here's an interesting matchup-based one. We do this a lot on the show. So, in that Washington-San Antonio game, you'd think that DeJounte Murray and Brad Beal are going to match up, correct?
No.
No?
No, I think because of height differences and everything, I think DeJounte gets Satoransky and Beal sticks on Patty Mills.
I don't – all right. I mean, I see that going the other way. That's why I was going to have some interest in Satoransky, because if you're going to attack – the Spurs, it seems like that shooting guard position is the one to do it. Beal typically running more of the point.
Well, I mean, just because Beal guards Murray doesn't mean that Murray's going to guard Beal.
Right.
Like, I think that and the Spurs switch so much that they try to, you know, cover. They don't have a lot of, like, I think a lot of their DRPMs for individual players are kind of inflated a little bit. Which is funny because that's supposed to – the inflation for team efficiency is supposed to take out the – is supposed to be taken out of that number. It's supposed to be individualized. But I think the Spurs, they run such a good defensive efficient team that they switch so much that, you know, you can't really gauge on who's going to be guarding who most of the time, especially with Kawhi out, because there's no way that all of these guys – from top to bottom are, you know, good defensive, individual defensive matchups. I don't know. I don't have any problem with Satoransky. I don't have any problem with Beal. I think the wings is where you can attack. I mean, I'm not really afraid of attacking the Spurs when they're on the road. I don't really like doing it at home because they seem to play a lot better at home. As do most NBA teams, but they seem to play better defensively at home. And so Satoransky and Bradley Beal, I don't think is a bad little combo. The problem I have with, okay, he's come down a little bit. So, I mean, I don't mind either one of them. I don't think I would trust him in cash games just because the Spurs can go Spurs.
Oh, hell no.
At any moment. And, like, they could literally, like, bore you to death with a 25-second shot or 24-second shot clock. But, sure. You know, it's one of those things, like, do you really, really, really want to attack with both of them in the same lineup? And I don't think I want to do that either.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. My appeal with Satoransky is that, you know, it's kind of similar to that Miami situation with, like, Dragic.
Point guards of Wasteland.
And Tyler Johnson. But, again, you're getting that discount there with Satoransky. He has put up 27 fantasy points in 5 of the last 6 games. You know, and these aren't exactly the greatest matchups that he's doing them in either.
It's
so
he does so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this guy's been flirting with that triple double. Like, you know, I don't even know if flirting. He's been throwing out a couple feelers. How about that? He's been throwing out a couple feelers on triple doubles.
He's been texting him and then swiping right.
Yep, yep.
Or is it left?
Bit.
I don't know. I've never swiped. Hey, I've never
girl,
had to swipe. I've never had to swipe for a date or for anything like that before, so I don't know if it's swiping right or swiping left.
Oh, great. Yeah, just rub it in, bro. All of us Tinder and OkCupid and Bumble users
hey,
out there.
Don't make fun of OkCupid. That's where I met my wife.
Uh-huh.
But you didn't. But when I met
but
her,
you didn't do the swipe. You just went right into swipe. The direct message. You
yeah.
just
no. You didn't swipe at the time.
Okay. Okay.
Like we've been together. In July. It'll be 7 years. So like we didn't like it. What the swiping wasn't a thing 7 years ago.
Gotcha. Very, very interesting. I will say, pro tip, if you are down in the Miami area on a Tinder or a Bumble, you're going to be doing a lot of right swiping. So you might want to, like, switch hands while you're doing it. A lot of beautiful women down there in the area. What can I say?
Thumb's going to be tendonitis?
A little bit. A little carpal tunnel. All right. We got to talk about Rondo because he was amazing last night. Now, a lot of people will jump back into bed with Rondo. But we know the situation that we got here. The price is still good on Rondo. You gotta say too, you know, a lot of the reasoning for Rondo doing so well last night was that Jrue Holiday was out. So if he comes back tonight, he immediately takes a hit. But do you think you can still get away with it at that price, or do you want to?
If Jrue Holiday's in, no. If he's going to be chalky, no.
Oh, you know what, too? Rondo does have some historically bad performances on the back end of back-to-backs. I mean, like, real
and
bad.
Wasn't that a revenge
like
game
single
last
digit
night anyways?
Bad. Yes, it was. It was.
So.
Okay, I think we just talked ourselves out of Rondo. Beautiful.
Well, that was easy.
Yes,
so,
it was.
So what we've come to the conclusion so far is that we don't play Rondo unless it's a revenge game. Point guard sucks. And Thomas Satoransky is probably one of our favorite plays.
Yeah. Perhaps.
Oh.
So speaking of New Orleans, and again, I don't know. People are going to ask, so we might as well discuss it. But Ian Clark, he got his minutes. Again, that was another situation with Holiday out. He got bumped up in minutes and production and whatnot. We got to talk about it. We can't just not mention his name.
Who?
Ian Clark.
Dude, if it wasn't for a good fourth quarter, Ian Clark is one of the most disappointing plays last night. It was so bad. Like, I was so upset because I was like, dang it, I fell into this trap. And it was.
Heath will not be joining the Ian Clark fan club
no,
anytime
I don't think
this,
he's a
this
good,
decade.
I don't think he's a good player.
Yep. So, 20 plus in 4 straight games for Ian Clark. You know, he's played at least 30 minutes in each game of that span. But again, the price has come up to a point where, you know, you're not really getting much value at $4,000 on FanDuel. You know, he's really just cutting the mark right there. So that is definitely worth noting, especially if Jrue Holiday comes back. Okay. We all good here at the shooting or at the point guards?
Yeah, I guess so.
Fair enough. All right. Well, in what point guards are lacking, shooting guards make up for, because we got a lot of nice names here on the list today. So he's been public enemy number one by a lot of folks out there. But Victor Oladipo going into New Orleans tonight, 8,200 on DraftKings, 8,800 on FanDuel. New Orleans, one of the worst turnover teams, or they have one of the worst turnover ratios in the NBA. Going to be playing on the back end of a back-to-back, which we know teams are always a little more sloppy. Is there enough appeal here for Oladipo finally? By the way, third best ADVP matchup for anyone on the slate.
I mean, it's New Orleans. I'm not shining against anyone against New Orleans, especially with 50 point upside, and at one of the lower prices that he's been at in a while.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. So FanDuel, he comes down to 8,800. Like I said, where he is on DraftKings right now is typically where he's been, but. You know, again, I think a lot of the appeal on FanDuel, though, is the fact that he can get some steals in this game. Again, it's we see it all the time. Teams on the back end of back-to-backs, they have a lot more turnovers the next night. So we can do that. I mean, I'm sure when we talk about Thad Young, that part's going to be appealing too. But, yeah, I mean, look, Oladipo has not been doing well lately. Like, we know this. I have faith in the guy. I think he's going to do just fine. I've been saying he's going to do just fine over these last five games. But damn it, I mean it this time, Keith. I mean it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll agree with you on that one.
We talked about Bradley Beal earlier. He's going to be going into San Antonio. Now, what's interesting, he's $7,800 on FanDuel as opposed to $8,600 on DraftKings. I don't know, like, you know, everything doesn't really look good for Washington coming into this game, but one thing I failed to mention with Satoransky is that they did have 3 days off for this game against the Spurs. So, yeah, not great going into San Antonio, but at least they got a little extra time to prepare. You just talked about your boy Scottie Brooks being such a great coach the other day.
I don't have any problem with this, and the one problem that, like, he's cheap. It's a good matchup, especially recently. But he's kind of in that meh range for me.
Yes, the meh range, very popular.
Yeah, not so popular because, I mean, come on, I can go get arrested DeMar DeRozan for.
I meant popular, like as in well known. Not as in a favorite of the people.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Middleton's the same price. I can go get arrested DeMar DeRozan against Cleveland for a couple hundred more. I mean, he's just kind of like blah. And if I take the name out of it and I just look at the, like the usage numbers and the poor performances and stuff, I'm like, okay, he's going to bounce back here. He can bounce back here, and he's going to have really low ownership going against San Antonio. So I think that he's definitely in play, but he's not my favorite. I mean, DeRozan's under 8K, and this is the primo of spots that I want to attack with DeRozan. So it might just be an Oladipo and DeRozan. And I've also got the world pissed off at Tyreke Evans. So if he's in play, then I'm going to have some exposure to him too.
There is a line around the block to hit him over the head with a 2x4.
I don't think it's necessarily his fault.
No.
He's just the one with the name, so he's the one you get to blame.
But that's, I mean, like, that was the thing, though. The biggest, I guess the most disappointing part of the whole thing was that he played two games before that, and he did really well. And, you know, it just looked like, all right, we're going to ride Tyreke out down the stretch. Nope. Going back to tank mode. He's like, whoa. The Hawks won in Utah last night. Like, you know, we got to get going. I know that game was before it, but so what? He could tell the future. Will Barton went bananas in that last game for Denver, going up against Chicago tonight. Now, what's interesting about this, according to ADVP, shooting guards against Chicago, that's going to be the most unappealing spot of the bunch going up against this team. Now, Will Barton probably going to draw. I'm thinking like David Nwaba, if we see the same starting lineup or the same situation that we see with the Bulls, possibly a matchup with David Nwaba. Are you impressed by David Nwaba defense?
Impressed is a strong word. I'm not disappointed.
Okay.
I'm adequately appealed.
Wow.
I don't. It's not impressive. I admire his hustle and his drive.
I'm just looking for ways that this Chicago defense can actually be good against that position. I guess it kind of goes back to that.
Well,
same
when you're
discussion.
Not playing Zach LaVine, then you kind of have no way to, like, there's no way you can actually get worse, right?
That's a quite a valid point. It's kind of that same discussion that we just had with the Knicks. How are they a bad matchup at the point guard position, according to adjusted DVP? So, it's the same thing there. Big price difference on Will Barton. There's kind of a big price difference with a lot of these shooting guards today between the two sites, but Barton more appealing on DraftKings at 7,000 as opposed to the 7,700 on FanDuel. Yeah.
Will Barton without Gary Harris has been almost money. Like, I just don't think about the price anymore with him. I just kind of plug it in. This ADVP has me looking a little bit differently. Like, I think I might want to drop down to Wilson Chandler or go to Jamal Murray and get off the Barton wagon while I'm ahead. But, I mean, he's on a run kind of like Lou Williams was. Maybe not quite as good, but he's on a run kind of like Lou Williams was at the beginning of the season. Mm. He reminds me of a younger Corey Brewer with actual scoring ability, because Corey Brewer couldn't hit the broadside of a barn last night. But, he's 160 pounds soaking wet. Like, he's always active, running around, moving, and he can shoot. But I almost want to think that because of our ADV, I try not to question the ADVP too much. Like, there are spots where I will, but where I can go get, like, a Wilson Chandler, a Nikola Jokic, a Paul Millsap, or a Jamal Murray, I don't think I'm going to question it here. So, okay. Because Bradley Beal is $100 cheaper, Chris Middleton's $100 cheaper, Tyreek is in that same tier, DeMar DeRozan's in that same tier, Oladipo's $1,000 more, $1,100 more, then you just go cheaper, then you've got D'Angelo Russell that's, $300 cheaper with no Batum. I think Will Barton for the Nuggets just might be the odd man out.
Wow. All right, very, very interesting. All right, looking at the rest of the shooting guard position, anybody, any value options to potentially get?
Wayne Ellington is popping off the page again.
I like that.
4,200. Trying to think. He doesn't need to do much. He's kind of just a filler for me. But if I need an option, then I can go to him. Devin Harris has been getting some more minutes without Gary Harris in the without Gary Harris in the lineup, and he's played 26 minutes both games without him in there. He's 4,100, so that's probably where I'd be looking. Ben McLemore played 20 minutes the last game, although he didn't do much. Malik Monk is going to play some extra minutes in there as well. I mean, there's some value here. It's not pretty, though.
well, value rarely is. One guy that I saw that looked kind of interesting, still kind of cheap, but Danny Green going up against the Wizards tonight. I know it's not the greatest matchup, but Spurs are projected to do better than the Wizards tonight. I don't know why, but I kind of feel like this game has some sneaky offensive appeal. I think the Wizards are being heavily underrated in this one. I don't know, but it's weird. Like, last couple nights, my gut calls on what games would be the highest, like, offense have actually come through. But I don't know. I see some appeal here in this game. I think you could tell how much I was trying to push with Satoransky and Beal.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out why I'm agreeing with you on this one. Because normally we don't agree when it comes to the Wizards.
Interesting thing about Danny Green that caught my attention just seconds ago, 4,300 on DraftKings as opposed to 4,800 on FanDuel. So, that's where the answer is right there. But again, too, on DraftKings, you get the 3-point bonus. I think it's probably an easier number for him to hit over there. We got that. What about Thornwell? Probably going to play minutes tonight for the Clippers. They're one of these teams in
probably.
That.
Probably.
In that Sherry Moss situation. So, I mean, he should be all right in any event here.
Problem is he doesn't do enough.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a good game last night. Really good game last night. And the problem is he's a point guard on FanDuel.
Shooting guard eligibility on DK.
He just doesn't score. That's my problem with him is he's active. But he doesn't score enough, so probably not going to go there.
All right. I can tell we're at the bottom of the barrel at the shooting guard position, so let's go to small forwards. We've got the A or B situation once again at the top. LeBron James going up against the Toronto Raptors. Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Bucks going up against the Clippers tonight. Clippers, remember, in that 5-7 situation, so their shitty defense will be even more shitty. A or B, man, who you got?
Between who? Sorry, I was reading Twitter's reaction and blowing up to the Nets and Hornets actually playing tonight.
That's right, with the impending snow. Why I'm in the middle of it. Why wouldn't I even think about that, man? Anywho, this is between Greek and LeBron. Man.
Can I just play both of them?
I thought we, as some people said, it might be a good idea to fade him the last time, but that ended up not being the case.
Okay, so this is about the third time that we've had, or the fourth time that we've had them on the same slate at the same time and all this other stuff. Let's just... take this and do the opposite of what we think. So what do we think? We think we can play both of them or not?
Sure.
Okay, well then then we should probably fade them.
All right.
So
Here's the deal. LeBron, I had this same worry about LeBron in that last game that I do here, and that's the fact that Kevin Love's back. So, sure.
That seemed to rejuvenate him a little bit.
Yeah, it worked out well last time. But is he really worth – I mean, think about this long term and think about the past. Is he really worth 12-8 with Kevin Love in the lineup?
Yes.
Okay.
Dude, he just put up a 40-point triple-double the other night with Kevin Love in the lineup.
I'm well aware. And I think a lot of these... I think a lot of these situations were in his favor over these last couple games.
Last couple... He's had Love back once.
Well, what I'm saying is...
Like, you're talking... No, stop. Hold on, because listen to this.
The ultra level he's at.
Yes, because listen to this. One, he just got a $300 price decrease on FanDuel.
Right.
He was 13-1 the other night. Second off, like, are you telling me that Kevin Love isn't as good or isn't better than George Hill, Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson, and Larry Nance?
He is.
Okay, so, and you're telling, so, and we know that the way to win in the NBA is to have multiple stars being able to do multiple things. You can't do it with one. You can do it for a little bit, but you can't do it with one. Like, I think this only helps. It definitely helps Kevin Love. And I think it, because now he's got somebody that can knock down shots consistently.
Right.
He doesn't have to worry about banging inside all the time. You know, losing Larry Nance, losing Tristan Thompson, losing Kevin Love. I mean, when you have to run Antonio Zizek or whatever his name is, when you have to run Zizek out there for 25 minutes in order to save LeBron's body from having to bang with the bigs, like, it only helps him. Now he can go back to running the point. He can go back to distributing the ball. And now he's got another guy out there. I think the return of Kevin Love only helps all of these guys. Okay, so Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, George Hill, they might not get as many shots up. LeBron's going to get his. I'm not worried about LeBron. It's just like Russ. It's just like Durant. It's just like Giannis. They're going to get theirs. They might not get it every single game. They're going to get theirs. I'm not worried about LeBron paying off this price tag. Like, I'm just not.
I look at it in the sense of Love returning means less rebounds, less points, things of that nature. Now, I know there are still a lot of injuries on this Cavs team, but like, I'm looking at it tonight as, okay, you know, if OG is he's got to be the one that's going to be on LeBron tonight. But
OG's not playing that many minutes.
I get it. But he'll be out there for some, you know, like, he's just not going to not be on him. I mean, there are some impediments. And, you know, here's the interesting thing, though, too. Both of these guys, LeBron and Giannis, are taking two of these teams on that are in a 5-7 situation. So, yeah, the defense probably won't be as good. I mean, there's a very real chance there's going to be a very real chance that one of these games ends in a blowout because the other team is too tired. There's a very real chance of that. But my thing with LeBron
I don't think it's Cleveland.
My thing with LeBron at 12-8, I mean, that is such a high price that I'm not saying that he's going to, like, be nowhere near productive. I just think it brings him to more of like a 50, low 60s level as opposed to the 70s level that he's been at without Kevin Love.
But he just put up a 72 with Kevin Love.
I get that. And again, that's a situation where he's going head to head against Greek. Like, it's like, it was just a great, like, I don't know, motivation.
You don't think that he's going to be motivated going against the number one seed in the East right now?
I think somewhat, but I don't think it's, like, the biggest motivating factor. I mean, they've handled the Raptors for years. Like,
yeah, and the Raptors just went and blew them out earlier in the season.
They did. They absolutely smoked them.
You don't think that he wants to show off his shiny new toys and come back? Like, they play each other three more times the rest of the season.
Damn, like, do they? Wow.
Yeah. Like, it's just, or maybe it's twice. No, I think it's three.
Well, like, even twice. I mean, you know, saving all those for the last, you know, home stretch. That's
I just crazy. I just don't feel like I'm really that worried about LeBron.
Okay. No, and look, all your points are incredibly valid. You've kind of made me look more favorably on it, but I don't, just to me, I just look at 12-8 and I think it's such a high number to hit, especially with Love back, but again, we shall see. We shall see. You know me. I'm always going to be skeptical of these people. Let it be. All right. If not LeBron, if not Greek here at the small forward position, there are some pretty decent options here, just as there was the other night when we decided to fade these two. I guess, I don't know, one of the most appealing going to be Jeremy Lamb. Only 5,400 on DraftKings as opposed to the massive price increase that he got on FanDuel at 6,600. What are we thinking here? You know, weather pending, of course.
We don't have to worry about weather because the NBA has already said that that game is going to be played.
Really?
We don't have to worry about Tyreek Evans. He's already been ruled out.
Yep. I wonder if the NBA even looked at the forecast. They're supposed to get like 13 inches throughout the day, so we'll see.
I really, 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 really.
Well, how about this on the sites? Let's go DraftKings. You got to play them at 5,400. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not. I can't touch them It's such a good spot. Such a good spot, but I. What's his ceiling in this matchup? 35. Like I would think at the project, maybe at the projected ownership, I would need like a 40, right?
Yeah, absolutely. At 6,600, yes.
I don't think he gets it.
Let me ask
I would much rather play Josh Richardson, Wilson Chandler, Damari Carroll, Okay, let's just
all talk guys about, that were on the docket coming up. Yeah.
Yeah, let's just talk about those two versus Jeremy Lamb. Okay. Like Josh Richardson, Wilson Chandler versus Jeremy Lamb. These are two guys that have popped off 50s. Like, and Jeremy Lamb hasn't cracked 40. Why am I going to spend $600 more for him?
Here's the question though. At 6,600, do you think he's going to be that popular?
Against Brooklyn, yeah.
Okay.
Because people are going to see the pace and, you know, all this other stuff. Yeah, I think he's still going to be popular. Maybe not as popular as he was the other night, but he will still be popular.
If that's the case, it makes it much easier for me to not be there on FanDuel. DraftKings, I'll be cheering him on, but I'm not paying all that. Like you mentioned, friggin' Josh Richardson, who Lance Thomas is out for the Knicks. So guess what? That's B's territory right there. I assume those two are going to be matched up. Yeah, you know my love for Jay Rich without Hassan Whiteside. I love it. You got the two guys from the Nets. Alan Crabb went bananas against the Charlotte Hornets the last time they faced off. And yeah. DeMar Carroll's in a good spot.
And I'm sitting here looking at it, and like you got Justice Winslow that's in a good spot. I mean, I'd almost much rather play the opposite side of that and play a Dante Cunningham and hope he gets hot. Like, Joe Harris is there.
Dante Cunningham with a deep skull laceration. He is questionable for tonight's game.
Yeah, I'm talking about if he plays. I honestly don't think it's hard to play, like... I'm going to have honestly, really, my player pool today for small forward might just be four guys.
Whoa.
It might just be Giannis, LeBron, Chandler, and Richardson.
That's a bold declaration at 227 Eastern. Bold declaration.
So, I mean, I guess I could see... now that Tyreek's out, getting some Dylan Brooks, you know, getting some Alan Crabb and some Justice Winslow in there a little bit. But for the most part, I think that's where I'm going to have a lot of my exposure to is just those four guys.
Why Josh Richardson got to be so expensive on FanDuel? 6,000. Come on, man. Not cool.
Richardson?
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit cheap, actually. For his upside?
5,300 on DraftKings. Oh, yeah, I'm well aware. I just, you know.
Yeah,
we
all know that DraftKings sucks at pricing this year.
I'm looking out for myself here. How about Denzel Valentine? Much hated by the industry after that flop against the Knicks the other night. The same trio of guys are out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the same spot. Like, and I think you can go there. So, I really, really like the pivot off of Will Barton to Wilson Chandler. I really like Josh Richardson tonight. I don't mind, I guess, a Damari Carroll and Alan Crabb and a Justice Winslow, but like, there's not a lot to love in a lot of other spots.
Fair enough. One other guy I was looking at, Bogey Bogdanovich, only 4,400 on DraftKings, going up against New Orleans tonight. They suck everywhere on defense, so yeah, what's up? He sucked lately, but this is a good spot. He can get back on the good foot. All right. Speaking of that, from the same game, I wanted to talk about Lance Stevenson real quick. He's put up some pretty nice games here over the last two.
Is he playing LeBron?
He is not playing LeBron.
I don't want him.
I know you
don't. Is Bogdanovich out?
No.
Is Oladipo out?
All right, you know what, bud? We're done here. We're done here. We're going on to the power forwards.
Seriously.
Like, you're asking a bunch of rhetorical questions that you know the answer to, damn it.
Well, then why are we talking about Lance Stevenson?
Because he's cheap and he's done nice over the last two games. Both of which, I don't think anyway, were against LeBron. So, cramming at your cram hole the floor.
He's going to play 20 minutes.
Saying 28, 29, last two games. A lot of that coming at the expense of Bogdanovich, but whatevs. All right, we're done. We're done there. Let's get to the power forwards. Anthony Davis, we all know, going to be the hot topic of conversation today. 11-5 on DraftKings, 12-1 on FanDuel. He does have 60-plus in two of his last three against Indy. We also know he's got really good numbers on the back end of a back-to-back, albeit in this very strange scheduling situation that the Pels are in. All right, what are you doing with AD tonight?
Well, I'm playing him tonight because I think he sits tomorrow.
Okay.
And then I'll just pray that he sits tomorrow and he doesn't sit tonight.
You are religious, so it could work.
You know, but make sure you understand that there is a chance. You know, three games in 3 days is no joke to mess with. I think because Giannis and LeBron are on the slate that he's going to be lower owned, because I think everybody's kind of well aware that it's the back end of a back-to-back and it's the middle of a 3-3 and, you know, it's 5-7. It's just a horrible spot. Right. Everything in your head says fade. Of course, when everything in everybody else's head says fade, I'm like, all right, this means that I'm going to get 65-point upside and ability at, what, 15%? I mean, it might not work out 80% of the time. It might only work out 20% of the time. But guess what? That 20% of the time, I know that I'm going to be on it. So, like, last night the move was to fade him. Now everybody played him. Now with him going out on the injury, with two other studs on there in good spots and all this other stuff, you know, this is a spot where, especially if Drew's back and they rest Rondo tonight or, you know, whatever, then, you know, you compare Drew and AD and really get going. But, like, my thing is, like, everybody played him last night. He was over 50% owned in tournaments. You've got everybody that knows the whole situation around him, so everybody's going to get off of him.
Yeah. Keith, you're making too much sense right now.
Yeah, and I'm giving away this information for free. So my thought is, like, I think that he sits tomorrow. So I'm going to play him tonight when his ownership is low and pray that he does sit tomorrow and he doesn't sit tonight. Because I'm not – even if he plays tonight and we get no word about tomorrow, I'm not touching him tomorrow. Like, I can't touch somebody that's not conditioned for 3-3.
Right.
I don't care how – I don't – like, when you add a 3-3 in there, it completely changes the spectrum of what you should be thinking.
There's not even a filter on those stats.
No, but tonight. There's
no 3-3 filter.
But tonight, like, I don't mind it tonight.
Very interesting. And, by the way, AD does have, as I mentioned, this great history recently against the Pacers. And this season on the back end of back-to-backs, albeit in matchups against the Nets and the Suns, on the back end of those games, he put up, I remember one was like 89. That was in double overtime. I was there. And then he had put up a 93 against Phoenix. So, you know, he is capable of putting up these big numbers. Great matchup for him tonight, too, as well.
Yeah, and I might just even lock in LeBron and AD and just roll.
Dig it, dig it. Look, I really like LaMarcus Aldridge tonight. You know, I was going into this podcast thinking I was going to go over him with AD. You present some fantastic evidence to the jury right there. But, look, I still like Aldridge here. I'm not impressed by this Washington team down low. You know, Aldridge only 8,800 on DraftKings as opposed to 97 on FanDuel's a lot. So DraftKings probably looking like a better spot, but gotta be looking at what Aldridge is doing, man. He's playing at such a great level right now.
Yeah, and it's come at the expense of Powell.
you said that like
I was actually disappointed because Powell went to the bench after he got, you know, they got blown out the night before. It's just been this whole love. I'm going to get my money back from Pau Gasol at some point. I think tonight could be the night because I think with the way that, you know, they can't run Kyle Anderson at the four, right? Not against the Wizards.
I mean, they can. It's not ideal, but I mean, I guess they could.
Like, I would think that Powell has to be in this at some point. Like, he's got to play when Gortat is on the court, and that puts LMA on Markeith, and, you know, you're going to get production out of both of them. LMA's run has been in coinciding with him coming back, playing the five, and, locking in Pau Gasol for about 20 minutes coming off the bench.
Interesting. Yeah, it is crazy what they're doing with Gasol. Do you still have the standings up? Yes. San Antonio is.
San Antonio is tied with New Orleans right now for the 5 seed. I don't know who holds the tiebreaker, but the way that NBA.com has it is New Orleans is in the 5 and they're in the 6, but they have the exact same identical record.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, no, it's interesting. And, you know, just looking at Gasol's game log, I mean, the minute that is, like, I didn't realize how truthful that the depressing answer that you gave, like, yeah, and it's come at the expense of Gasol. And then you look at the game log and you're like, oh, man, now I feel bad too. But, I mean, look, when he does get the minutes, he's been producing lately. And this is a fantastic matchup against the Wizards. Like, this is a spot that not many people talk enough about attacking with centers, and it's been very good at times this season. So, I really like Aldridge, but it was kind of like last night where I had AD and Blake, and it ended up working out well.
He's not cheap either.
No, not at all. But again, DraftKings, you know, I've been spending some time over there, but 8,800 over there for a guy playing at this level right now, that'll be tough to pass on. All right. There are some other interesting options. One, we definitely got to get out of the way because James Johnson, still not priced like a real human being on FanDuel, only 5,500. And this guy's been doing nothing but terrorizing the NBA over the last couple games. I don't know how you not play that.
Because Kelly Olynyk's sitting there and not both of them are going to have a great game again, right? Like, this isn't going to go into double overtime.
Well, Johnson's the guy that I'm more confident. I mean, he's the guy that's been consistently doing well. Kelly Olynyk just popped his head above water last game and came up with something.
We normally are right on the Kelly Olynyk.
James Johnson, man, just, you know, his numbers over the last few have just been unbelievable. FanDuel not a believer.
Yeah, we're normally right on those Kelly Olynyk games, and we just somehow looked over it or missed it or whatever. I do like James Johnson over Kelly Olynyk tonight in this matchup, just because.
Wow.
I actually like Bam more than both of these guys. But if we're just talking at this position, it's James Johnson.
Wow, that's crazy. So Olynyk, $500 more expensive than James Johnson. You know, both of
he
their
just
numbers
went for 60.
I know. I know both of those numbers, you know, boosted by that the double overtime game there against Denver. Great game, by the way. So you got that there. And, you know, it was interesting. I'm looking at the Knicks lineup now for tonight. So if Thomas is going to be out, I forgot Courtney Lee's probably going to be playing tonight for the Knicks, you know, however many minutes it is, whatever. But that might actually put Beasley with James Johnson. So, you know, whereas I was talking about Richardson before being with Beasley, I think both of them will, you know, whatever. So at some point I'll be matched up with them. But, yeah, I – loving some Miami Heat tonight, in particular, James. How about? I mean, we got some other guy, Kevin Love. Where's he at?
Not in my player pool at 7,300 anymore.
7,300. They just flipped the first two numbers around on his salary from the other night.
No, he was 35.
All right, Captain Literal Man. All right.
Hey, well, if you're going to give information, make sure you give correct
information. I'm not even going there. 7,300 on FanDuel, 6,400 on DraftKings. Is the 6,400 playable?
Yeah, because I think he plays more than 24 minutes again tonight. I think he kind of approaches, you know, because it was a wrist thing. It wasn't, you know, a legs thing. I think he approaches like 28, so I think that's a little bit better. I think I can do it on DraftKings. I don't know for sure yet. It depends on what happens with everything at the position on FanDuel. I mean, Paul Millsap's cheaper, James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, you know. Serge Ibaka is cheaper. Bobby Portis is cheaper.
I enjoy Bobby Portis.
I hope today's not a Bobby Portis day.
One guy, Dario Saric going up against Memphis. Here's an interesting situation. So the Sixers are actually on the front end of a back-to-back. Both of the teams that they play in this stretch – Memphis tonight, Orlando tomorrow. Both games they should easily handle. I wonder if Embiid maybe gets a breather in one of these games. What do you think?
I think he does because they've got playoffs coming up.
Sure, sure. And, you know, looks very, very, very real that the Sixers are going to be in. It would take a miraculous, you know, crumble at the end of the season for them not to be in. But again, Saric, a guy that is always underpriced on DraftKings. He is what, 50? He actually fell below six now, so he's at 5,900 over there. Only 6,200 on FanDuel. This guy was 7,200 last game, so that's a huge drop off. Again, power forwards against anybody against Memphis. Who the hell am I kidding? You know, you could certainly attack. I thought that was a really ridiculous price for him.
Yeah, I'm not paying 10 for Ben Simmons. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Against the Grizzlies, no one's going to be mad at you. Yeah, by the way, Saric had a god-awful game last time out against Charlotte. You know, he should be fine. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, if I'm playing a power forward from the Sixers, that's where I'm going. And I don't mind it either at 6,200. I think it's a little bit of a gamble, but, I mean... As everybody tries to sell it to me, scare money don't make money.
True that, true that.
I think that's crap. smart money makes money, but smart money doesn't mean that I'm not scared to lose it.
I don't know if you remember. Well, maybe you do. The last time that these two teams faced, I was screaming I'm still waiting on the steal for Pascal Siakam from January. So this is 2 months, and I still haven't gotten the 3 bonus points that I wanted that night. But he was actually a guy that I saw popping off on projections today for Siakam. So $3,700 on DraftKings for this guy, and he went completely nuts against the Cavs in that last meeting. He has $4,400 on FanDuel, so I don't think the risk is worth it there. But $3,700, it's kind of like Nerlens Noel Jace at this point.
You hear that? You weren't supposed to give out a sneaky play for free.
That wasn't the guy.
No, that's not the guy that I told us last night not to talk about.
Right. This I made sure I stayed away from that one. Like, I highlighted that one in red and put, like, bad arrows pointing towards it. As opposed to the good ones, you know.
Yeah. There's some bird, like, cooing outside my window. It's really kind of creepy. Right. Anyways.
Yeah.
Here's the funny thing about it is, like, I love Pascal Siakam tonight. Like, yeah. And I hope, because I don't think that Serge plays.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or he's limited. And that makes just means, sense. And because of the spot, and because it seems like they're kind of rotating their rest guys. So I think that either Serge or Valanciunas don't play tonight.
Strong. Strong take. All right, so, fair enough.
I like him.
Hey, makes this case even better. All right. Centers, home stretch, yes?
Yes, please.
Home stretch is now. Center position here tonight. Oh, I'm just going to ask you right off the top. Who's your guy?
His name starts with Nick and ends with Ick.
Oh, Nickick.
Nickick. I like
Nick it. I've actually got two or three. I'm not touching DJ on the back end of a back to back. I know the matchup is fantastic. I might, because they pulled their starters pretty early last night. They pulled them with about 7 minutes left to go. So I forgot about that. So I could probably go back to him there. I love Bam Adebayo tonight. Nikola Jokic is my top guy. Like, against Chicago, I mean, triple-double, I mean, who's going to stop him? Bobby Portis? Felicio?
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't Felicio still dead last in DRPM?
If not dead last, he's pretty close.
Yeah, he certainly didn't make any surges up to the top of the list. That's for damn sure. I wanted to see this because this is evidence to support Jokic, who is also my top center of the night. I believe he will be many people's centers of the night. But Jokic especially just crushes shit teams like Phoenix, Dallas, the Knicks, Chicago. Yeah, against Chicago earlier this season, he went for 60 on DraftKings, 53 on FanDuel. Actually, triple-doubled against them. That wasn't even – oh, Jesus. I really hate this. I pulled up the wrong thing. They love me out on the internet getting stuff wrong. I went to type in Nikola Jokic's most fantasy points this season. For whatever reason, I put last season. That doesn't do anything for us. But, yeah, Jokic, let's see. He crushes the Bucks, had a great game against the Nets. Dallas, he had a good one. Yes. I guess the main point to this is really, you mentioned it, who's going to crush or who's going to stop Jokic tonight from the Bulls? And the answer is nobody.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Dwight Howard. I mean, the Nets are on the schedule, so got to talk about the center going up against them. Any interest here on a Hornets team that may have very well checked out for the season already?
Well, I mean, if last game was any indication, then, I mean, I guess you could go there. I mean, last game was just bad. Just bad. Like, He just got worked over.
Yes, yes. Now, what's interesting, the Hornets actually started giving Hernan Gomez some minutes. Willie Hernan Gomez, formerly of the New York Knicks, played 12 minutes against the Knicks that night at the Garden, ended up putting 20.7 up on FanDuel, and then he played 20 minutes in that last game against the Sixers and put up 29.6 FanDuel points. So the Hornets really are checking out on the season, and Hernan Gomez can get 20 minutes here against the Nets. I'd love to find that information out beforehand, but could be a very sneaky play as Jackie Bradley Jr.'s choking.
It's only gonna be sneaky if you don't find out beforehand. Yeah. Because as soon as a value center becomes available, then he's gonna get jammed.
Maybe not if we find out. Maybe if I find out, you know, reading through tea leaves and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm playing around with some exposures and stuff, and Dwight Howard's popping up in 93% of my lineups. So,
interesting.
I'll probably take a chance on him, but it's not one that I'm going to feel comfortable with. They're still alive. But barely.
Yes.
They are 8 or 7.5 games out of the 8 spot. They're still mathematically alive, but it's not by much.
My obligatory time of the pod where I have to mention Kyle O'Quinn. Look, the guy's just flat out producing lately. There's really no other way around it. Much more appealing on DraftKings, where you could use him in a variety of different spots. But he's also a lot cheaper over there, too. 4,700, that mark is very easy for this guy to hit, considering he's playing 20 minutes a game. He's just all over the stat sheet in that time. I will continue to roll out the guy while he's cheap. But 4,700 on DraftKings seems like a little too much to pass up.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, my DraftKings posse, they love me because I point out these plays, you know? Back when I was rocking on FanDuel, you know, I certainly wasn't feeling the love from the people. But now, there's a line around the block, Keith, waiting for these DraftKings value plays. It's a block over from the line around the block, ready to beat up Tyreek Evans.
Hey, I'm actually... I'm actually playing on DK tonight, so... I don't mind it. There's going to be some DK specific notes, and you know, but it's
How about this? Remember, you're talking about perhaps one of the Serge Ibaka or Joval sitting tonight for the Raptors. If that's the case, that puts Jakob Poeltl in the mix for a little more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I will have exposure to both of Jakob Poeltl and Pascal Siakam. I will have exposure to them. It's just kind of one of those things. I might not, because I might just end up just locking in Jokic. It just kind of depends. Uh-huh. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do yet, but it kind of just depends. I do know that there are some other options that I'll be taking some chances on that I'll save for my subscribers. But the center position for me, it's really hard to get off of, you know, Nikola Jokic and Bam if I'm going low. Those are my two favorite.
Okay. Now... to end this podcast, I'm not going to say what the numbers are. I'm just going to ask that everybody goes and checks out Jan Mahimi's game log. I don't know why he only played 8 minutes against his former Indiana Pacers mates, but 2 games prior to that, my goodness. I wonder if he gets similar minutes against the Spurs tonight. I don't know what the situation is. What was that? The 17th. That was what, Saturday?
Well, part of it was, we know that Marcin Gortat's going to get about 25 minutes.
Right.
But no more. But no more than 25. I don't know what the situation was on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, in 8 minutes, he had 5 points and five rebounds. But he also had three turnovers. So
yeah,
that could have had something to do with it. You know, it's just. I think we see more towards the norm rather than the other one.
Yeah.
I mean, that game was against Indiana. Indiana is bad, but I think that was part of the Al Jefferson game too, wasn't it?
It was. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why I landed on Mahimi and just decided to look at his game log. I'm looking at it now. I'm like, whoa. So we will definitely be looking into that situation and much more. Again, too, if you are a freeloader on this podcast and you want to join us at the Army, actually, I kid. But DFSArmy.com, promo code podcast gets you 10% off each month of your subscription. Me, Keith, Lowe's on notes today. So you got the OK3 Ajace version of the notes today. So going to be pretty good. That's all I got. So for me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.